The Lord has inspired one verse to my heart today, but we'll of course go to different other verses from that verse, but Psalms chapter 89, let's see, maybe we might start a little above verse 15, but verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Verse 11, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy right hand, or strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. But I'd like to focus in on that 15th verse. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. What is he talking about there? What... The word blessed is really an exclamation. How happy has exclamation point on it. How happy is the people that know the joyful sound. What is the, is he just talking about his nation, his people? At this time, I believe he was probably just referring to his chosen people, the nation of Israel. Because they were on earth, they were the people who knew the joyful sound. And then we're going to talk about what that is. But they were the people that had been called by the name of the Lord and who had followed the Lord. They had been rescued out of Egypt. They had gone into the Canaan land. They had the commandments and the heritage of the Lord. They had the traditions and they had the all of the feasts and the covenant and the promises and the different ceremonies, all that the Lord had commanded them, those were the people at that time. And I know that there were others who they many times would come and talk to those people and say, I want to know your God. I want to worship with you, like Ruth or like Rahab. People who came and said, I know I've heard of your God and I want to be one of you people. So those are the people that at this point was written that know the joyful sound. So what was that joyful sound? I just was so blessed by thinking of these things. And one of the meanings of the joyful sound was the triumphant shout that the people of God gave when they were called to worship and whenever it was time to go up to the feasts that the Lord had ordained that they should attend. Whenever it came time for those feasts, there was God had ordered or commanded them to blow a trumpet. And so the trumpet also is indicated by this, the trumpet that would summon them to worship or to the beginning of the feast that they were attending. The trumpet, when they heard that sound, they knew what it was about. They knew what it meant. The different feasts that being announced by that trumpet. When those people heard that trumpet, they began to take their belongings and make their preparations for those feasts. And great joy accompanied that when they would go up to Jerusalem to those feasts. And There were times when the joy and the glory was lost because they had gone into sin, into apostasy and idolatry, and you wouldn't hear that joy in that anymore. And they would not keep those feasts like they should. There was a time, I can't remember when it was, let's see, I think it was the time of Hezekiah when he was king, that they hadn't kept the Passover in years and years. And he sent messengers, the king sent messengers around, and so many people were, it was so foreign to them, and it was such a disgusting thing to them, and they didn't want anything to do with it. It says they laughed the messengers to scorn. But the people who did attend, who responded to the invitation to come to the Passover that was being held, that said that there was great joy. I don't know, I can't remember where that is, but it is a wonderful thing to read about. Whenever they had sent those messengers to come and worship, and then they made that feast and held that Passover. It was a wonderful experience. They were so filled with joy. Maybe somebody could find that. That just came to my mind, but it wasn't really something that I just had studied today. The trumpet also announced, and I can find that, Leviticus chapter 25. The trumpet also announced every 50 years they had a special year. And on that year, it was called the year of Jubilee. In verse 9 it says, "Thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement." So there was a double celebration right there. The Day of Atonement was one day a year that they were to fast. They were commanded to fast. And the priest was to go in to the holy place once a year, and only one priest, and only one time he went in with a sacrifice of blood before the Ark of the Covenant and made atonement for the sins of all the people and for himself. That was the Day of Atonement. And on this 50th year, on that Day of Atonement, there was a trumpet sound. And it was the year of Jubilee, and it was the Day of Atonement, a special double celebration or a special holy convocation. It said, "In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you." And that year, if you were a slave, if your brother had bought you to be his servant, he was to free you, and you were to go back to your own home at that time. And if there had been property that you acquired because of someone else's debt, you were to allow that property to go back to the rightful and original owner. And on that year, there were 3 years there that you didn't sow, or, well, let's say it like this. On that year, you didn't sow or reap. You ate from the crops that you had sowed the previous year. Let's see, how does it say? "A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field." It says, on the 6th year, that was the end of 6 years, a series of 6 and 7 years. And it says, "If you shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year, and eat of old fruit from that 6th year until the 9th year." So that was an interesting thing, that God, he would bless that 6th year so that those years, that 7th year that you didn't sow or reap, you would eat from what you got on that sixth year. And then the eighth year, since you didn't sow anything that seventh year, you were still eating from the sixth year. And on the ninth year, you sowed, but you were still eating crops that produced that from that sixth year. That's what God had ordained. This seventh year, and then every 49 years, the next year was, that 50th year was the Jubilee year. But that seventh year, when they did not sow or reap on that seventh year, that was a rest for their land. All of these things, I'm not explaining it very well, and maybe I've got you all confused, but these things meant something to the people of God. They knew what those meanings of those trumpets that announced those things was. That meant a year of release. It meant a year of redemption. It meant a year of rest. It meant a year of being free from all bondage. Any servant that had been a servant all that time, he was set free. And your land, you got your land back that you had to sell because of debt. It was a wonderful celebration to those people. When they heard that Jubilee trumpet, and that 50th year, it always came on the Day of Atonement, which was, like I said, a double blessing. That trumpet to them meant atonement for my sins, and it meant freedom from my bondage, and it meant I get my land back that I had to put in hock, you might say. So that was a 50th year, the Jubilee year. And that is one of the meanings of this verse in Psalms. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. If you were a stranger and you heard that trumpet, you were like, oh, there's their trumpets again. But if you were the people of God, you knew what that meant. And that was a special trumpet to those people. There were also trumpets that called them to worship. There were trumpets that called them to the other feasts. They had feasts. They had the Feast of Tabernacles that celebrated that time in the wilderness where God had given them water in their journeys and had supplied water out of the rock. They celebrated every year that time by going out and camping out in little huts that they made out of branches. They call that the Feast of Tabernacles. They lived out there and they commemorated those days in the wilderness where they had been without water and then God had brought water. But those trumpets announced those feasts. And to those people, the trumpets meant something. It meant jubilee. It meant liberty. He said, proclaim liberty throughout all the land. The blessed is the people that know that joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. There was also a sound at the presence of the king. There was a shout of triumph when the king came. The people would weep and they would lift up their voices and shout with triumph at a time when the king came. And think about the time when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt. What did the people do? They shouted, didn't they? The people who loved Jesus and who had done miracles for them, and his word and his gospel had made their hearts glad, and they believed in him, and they were happy to see him come. He had provided bread for them in the wilderness. He had raised their dead and made their blind to see. And they shouted and they threw down their clothes in the manner of people who welcome royalty. And they waved palm branches and they shouted, Hosanna. That was a shout of the king coming. That's also indicated by this, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Now, there's another in 1 Samuel chapter 4. There's a shout that the children of Israel made. It was when their ark, the ark of God, had been captured and had been away from them, and they got it back. It says in verse 3, when the people were come into the camp, The elders of Israel said, "Wherefore or why has the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth beneath the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. I was a little bit confused there. This is not when the Ark had been taken. This was right before it was taken. But this is the point, that when the Ark of God came into the camp, the people shouted, "Here's the Ark of God. Here's the presence of God. Here is the deliverance of God for us." And there was a shout so that the earth rang with joy. There was another place that they made the earth ring with joy. Let me find that one. It's in Ezra, I believe it is. Or was it Nehemiah? In Ezra chapter 3, they had been repairing the house of the Lord. And they got together the people, the Israelites, the Levites, the people who were supposed to do the work of the Lord at the temple. Verse 10, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple in the Lord, of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the sound, the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. This is a time of, well, like it said, some were weeping and some were shouting with joy. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. The Lord, all of these instances of the shouts of victory, there were times whenever we think of the time where God gave him victory over Jericho. Remember that? He had told the soldiers to march around, or the priests to march around and not say anything for 6 days, but on the seventh day they were to march, and then they were to do what? They were to shout. That shouting and that joy and that trumpet, those were all very symbolic of the presence of the Lord and the victory of the Lord, the liberty of the Lord, for freedom from bondage, the deliverance of the Lord, and redemption and atonement. All of that was what that shout and that trumpet meant. It meant that, and many people possibly did not understand the deeper meaning of that, but for the fulfillment of that in the gospel is a very wonderful thing. It's a rich truth that when we know that truth, and when we as God's people hear that joyful sound, that's the essence of our life, is that knowing that joyful sound. What does it mean to us? What does the Jubilee trumpet mean to us? What is it when we hear God's word and we hear His truth and His promise to us of I'm here to save you. I've got grace for you. I have redemption for you. I have freedom for you. When we hear that, and we hear it in our hearts, and we know what it means, and we know what, when it comes into your heart and your mind, what Jesus has done to save you, when you see it and you grasp the truth of it, what does it do for you? It brings joy. It brings a great gladness. It brings a great springing forth of life, of new life, of realization of sins forgiven, and a new chance to walk, and darkness is gone. The bondage is gone. The debt is gone. You're free. You're free, and there's just a blessed joy that comes to hear that jubilee trumpet, or to hear that shout of victory, to hear the call to worship, to hear the announcement that the King is here. To me, that's a wonderful, the presence of the Lord. To realize the presence of the Lord, doesn't it make your heart filled with joy? What did the verse say that was quoted? Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When we get down to pray in our personal life, any day, it doesn't have to be the seventh month and the tenth day of the seventh month, but every day when you come and you begin to worship the Lord, you hear the Lord calling you to seek Him, and you go and you begin to pray, and you realize that the presence of the Lord is right there, and He begins to talk with you. What does it do for you? It fills you with joy. It fills you with a joy that can't be explained in words. And many times, a person who doesn't cry will cry. And many times, a person who doesn't shout will shout. It'll be the joy that sets your heart ringing. It's a joy like in the song number 61. It's a joy that can make a heart that's been struck dumb with sorrow or with disappointment or with anything. Just can't seem to open up and can't seem to speak or anything. But when the Lord's presence comes and gives you the joy, it'll make your heart sing. Oh, I thank the Lord for this word and what it means to us today. Blessed are the people, is the people that know the joyful sound. Do I have a book in here? It's just a song book here. We have several songs in our song book that I was reminded of when I was meditating on this. One of them is, and we'll just sing a song, sing a verse of it. 224. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Let's sing verse 2. When the gospel is preached in the name of the Lord, by the Spirit sent down from above, my soul joy at the sound of His word, for I know in my heart what it means. I know in my heart what it means. Salvation, that word so divine, His Spirit has witnessed to go on just a little bit. We've talked about the joyful sound and what it means. It says, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Oh, there's so many verses that came to my mind about that. I thought about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That is the experience, the daily experience of a Christian, of a person who is a child of God. It gets better. It doesn't. There are times, periods we go through maybe that are cloudy, but there's a sunshine inside the child of God. You carry your sunshine with you because of the joyful sound that you've heard, that you know, that you experience every day. When you experience the presence of the King and the joy of the Lord in His presence, when you hear His constant victory song in your ears to deliver you and to keep you and to free you from bondage, that happens on a regular basis with a person who loves the Lord and seeks the Lord. Well, the Lord begins to speak to you in His Word. His Word does something for you. Many times in our private worship and we get something from the Lord, it frees us from one particular place of bondage in our life or another. And you experience that all along. That, well, what did Jesus say in John chapter 8? And verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then he went on and he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That is initially when we're saved, we experience that freedom, we hear that jubilee trumpet. But the walk of the Christian is that you hear that regularly, on a regular basis, the Lord comes to you and sets you free, gives you a divine truth that blesses you and it frees you and it continues to deliver you from sin and from the selfhood and from the bondages of maybe the law or ignorance or just self-imposed bondage that many times we get into. And you hear the truth on that. You hear God's word on it, and it sets you free. That's my experience anyway, of all along the path of life, of finding God's word, and it setting me free from one thing or another. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That to me is the New Testament parallel to Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's another one? There are several verses that go along with this. Psalm 119 has several in that chapter. Psalm 119 and in verse 30 it says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty. There's this freedom and liberty mentioned again. For I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Is there any more? Let's see. 111, isn't it? 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Oh, there's so many of these where it talks about the path or the walk that I'm walking, being lit and by being it freeing us as we walk His commandments. There's life and liberty in the way of His commandments. If you see another one, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. There you have it again, God's truth and liberty. They go together. And the world and the devil would have people to say, well, if you live according to, it brings you into bondage. If you're trying to serve God and keep all the of God's laws, you're not free. But this tells us differently. When we know the sound of the Jubilee trumpet and we understand what it means and we walk and order our lives in His word, we walk at liberty. We walk in His light. The truth makes us free. We know that, and that there's just nothing like it. It is a joy. It is a pleasure that lasts forever, as was mentioned earlier. It is a joy that is so deep, and it just causes us to, well, let's see. There's a verse in Jeremiah. Let me see if I can locate that one. I'll just quote it. He says, and thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. In Jeremiah 15 and 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Oh, that is truly the source. Christ is the source of all our pleasure. And we sang a while ago where it says, I walk in the light with Jesus. And He shines in the narrow way. The shadows of sin are vanished. I walk in the light of day. We read that one already in Isaiah chapter 2. Come, O house of Israel, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let's see if we can find some more. I know there are a lot of them. There's another one about the light. This one blessed me this week, Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It seems like there's another one about lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Psalm 43. For thou art the God, in verse 2, thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee. O God, my God. There's another one about the light of His countenance. If you find it, maybe you can help me with that. Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. In verse 3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Have you found the one where it says, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us? Let's see. In Psalm 4, I think that's the one I'm looking for. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. So the Lord's, the light of his countenance, it's not something to fear. Many people think, oh, I don't want to think about the light of the Lord constantly shining on me. But when your heart is right before him, when you've been forgiven and when you want to walk in his light, there's no dread about the light of God. We want the Lord to show his light. And the reason why that is so is, I think it would be expressed in Psalm 90 and verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. So we know that when we ask for the light of the Lord's countenance and we want to walk in it, we need to be prepared. Lord, I know you're going to many times show me something that I didn't know about myself. But when you want that, when you walk in that light, it's like the shining light that goes more and more unto the perfect day. It's not a bondage. It is a freedom. Then I want to look there at 1 John chapter 1. Very familiar verse there. This is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We do with Christ and he does with us. Can two walk together, the prophet said, except they be agreed? What prophet was that? I believe that was Amos, maybe. But anyway, God's saying, I want to not be in enmity with you. I don't want you to be at enmity with me. I want us to be one. I want us to be united. So we surrender our hearts and our lives to him, and then we're in agreement with him, and we can walk with him. We can walk together with him. And we ask him, shine your light on my pathway. And he shines his light on our pathway. And it's his truth and it makes us free. So we walk at liberty and we walk in his commandments. We run the way of his commandments. One part of that in verse 89:15 of Psalms, it said we walk in the light of his countenance. And that word walk means walk vigorously. We don't walk along the Lord's path like this. When the Lord shines his light in our life and it brings us truth and it brings us liberty, we can walk, we can run and not be weary, walk and not faint. We can walk vigorously in our spirit. I know that there's many times that in our flesh we're weak and we're faint and weary. It says even the young men's will faint and be weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's when we step in that light and he reveals something to us and we say, yes, Lord, and obey him. That's a cleansing for us. It keeps us clean from sin. It's a maintenance. He maintenances our lives. He constantly keeps us free and clean from sin. But we want to walk in his light because that's the way that he will do that. John chapter 8, verse 12 is Jesus himself saying that to us. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, he is the light of the world. He is the light of our life. He constantly, let's see, how was it that Simeon said it? When he met Joseph and Mary and the baby, there in Luke 2, it says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. I was thinking that, where is the one where it says, in thy light shall we see light? I was thinking that's what he had said. Yes, he said that. But then there was one who...
Psalms 36 and 9.
Okay, thank you. Psalms 36 and 9. With thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. Well, there's just so many, it would be hard to get every single one of them. But I think about some more of our songs. Well, let me get a scripture first. In Isaiah, I believe it's 51:50, it says in verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I remember times in my life where it seemed as though I was not walking in light. It seemed dark. There are times that we come into that it does seem dark. But if he is truly our Son of Righteousness, there are sometimes clouds that come between us and the sun. But what happens when you get in a jet and you go above the clouds? You find out the sun is still there. The sun is just behind the cloud. We have days that seem very dark. Remember in the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian walked in the valley of the shadow of death. Didn't mean that God was gone or that God wasn't a light anymore to him. This says when you come into times like that, you trust in the Lord and stay on the Lord. He'll bring you back out into the sunshine, which the sunshine is always there. And also, in our times of grief and disappointments and hardships here on earth, we carry the sunshine with us. We have him within our hearts because it's not something that we feel, it's something that we know. He didn't say, happy is the people who feel the joyful sound. It's who know the joyful sound. I know the meaning. I know his word. I can count on his word. I can trust in his word. He has said this and he has promised this and he is faithful and he is true. So I know there are times we've got to deal with that whenever we are preaching about things like this, or else some of us will get to thinking, hey, wait a minute. You're preaching at me about constant light, but I'm in a time of kind of gray right now. But he is always there. He is the Son of Righteousness. And we have those songs. Song number 84. Listen to what he said here. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. In song, let's see, number 124. This is a wonderful one. They are walking in the footsteps. Well, let's see. All of the verses are good. They're walking in the footsteps of Jesus all the time. For the needed strength and grace in him they trust. They are on the way to glory where joys are more sublime. They are walking in the pathway of the just. They are joyful in temptation because the Lord is near. Let offenses come, for Jesus said they must. So with sword and shield they conquer without a doubt or fear. They are walking in the pathway of the just. Well, we have many wonderful songs that have been given us about the light of God, walking in his light. There's a song that's not in our book, but it says, stepping in the light. Oh, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. I can't remember the last phrase of that chorus. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, I believe is what it said. There's another song that I thought of whenever I was praying about this morning. It was a song about his presence in times of trouble and the sunshine of his presence that lights my way. You might could find it online. It's Could I Tell It? And I think I got this off online. So I'll give you a little time to find it. Maybe we could sing it. But thank the Lord for these wonderful verses this morning.